So last week we talked about, be you asleep or awake, meaning that if you've already passed away or if you're still here when the Lord comes on that cloud, and we talked about what that's going to look like. It's going to look like the Lord coming on the clouds is going to look more magnificent than when the shepherds saw the angels explode the skies, and we're going to be able to see it simultaneously around the globe. So the people in China, the people in America, the people in Australia, all simultaneously will see the Lord coming on the clouds. And all those who have passed, who are asleep, will be raised and will go up into those clouds. And all those who are still here will go up into those clouds. Now, we don't know the timing of all this. Jesus said, you shall not know the day or the time or the hour. But what he did say is, be ready. Yes. Be prepared. So today, as we continue in 2 Thessalonians, we conclude with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to say it doesn't matter if you're awake or you're asleep. What does matter is that you're ready. Because it's going to happen in the blink of an eye, like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Paul talking to the church. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. We don't need to write to you because Jesus has already said you won't know the time or the date. So it's a useless conversation. And the amazing thing is we keep having this conversation. I remember a few years back, they said it was going to happen on June 20th, I think it was, and people were selling all their property, and they were all getting ready to be taken up to heaven, and then all of a sudden June 21st came around, and they were like, whoa, we let go of everything. But how did they miss that Jesus himself said, you shall not know the day or date? And I think God did that for a reason. Because I think God wants us to be always prepared. Yes. Not to get ready. Like, I think about, you know, right now, if I told you that next Monday, not tomorrow, but the following Monday, Jesus was going to come here. We talked about this on Wednesday night. And I told you that without a doubt, and you heard from God himself, that Jesus was coming here on Monday. And so I posed that question to our class, and I said, what would you do? And of course, we know what we would do. We'd get on the phone. We'd be knocking on the door. We'd be talking to our sons and daughters. We'd be talking to our moms and dads. We'd talk to our aunts and our uncles. We'd talk to our neighbors. We wouldn't go to work that week. We'd be on the pathway everywhere, and we would be talking to everyone. But Jesus says, be ready. For tomorrow could be that day. So, like LaWanda just said, we should be doing that anyway. So maybe there's a little conviction here today. It could be a second from now, David said. Or we could be just, I heard a guy in my men's group, he said, you know, you could get hit by a truck tomorrow, you know? You could be in an accident tomorrow. You never know what could happen tomorrow to you. And you don't know when Jesus is going to come. And so he's just kind of saying, like, it's a useless conversation to talk about the day and date and time. What we need to do is be prepared and help others be prepared. Continuing, Paul says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. You know, we get these alerts now on our neighborhood watch thing. And I got to tell you, after watching a few of those things every week, it's like, I'm not sure I want to be in my neighborhood anymore. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff going on. Cars are disappearing from driveways, and people are getting their house broken into. Or you can turn on the local news. I know people have been telling me they don't even watch the news no more. They don't watch the international news because they don't want to hear about it anymore. Because it's nothing but bad news, because that's how they get more ratings, of course. So that's what they give us, is give us the bad news. But there's enough bad news, isn't there? But the day of the Lord is not bad news. The day of the Lord is good news.
Yes.
The gospel is good news. You know, it really strikes me these days. It's really hitting me these days. That when we go to share the gospel, we go like a beggar. We beg people to hear us. We try to convince them. We're hoping they'll listen. But we shouldn't be going as a beggar. We should be going like you know, that Irish sweepstakes, and we're coming to your door with the amazing grand prize of $1 million, and it's going to change your life. Do you think they're coming to that person's door like a beggar? No, they're coming with good news. They're coming with that envelope. They're saying, hey, you won the publisher's sweepstakes. Remember those days? And now your life has changed completely, because now you have the means. Well, we have something better. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And it's going to come upon us either way, if we're prepared or if we're not prepared. It's a funny thing, I was reading about it today. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing, we talked about this last week, there's nothing to fear about the day of the Lord. We should be anticipating it. We are covered. I don't know all the logistics of exactly how it's going to play out. I don't know if it's going to be a rapture. I don't know if we're all going to be swept up at the second that Jesus... I don't know if it's pre-millennial or post-millennial. I don't know all of that. And I don't think most people do, because a lot of it is very cryptic. But what I do know is it's going to be a glorious day like we've never seen before. And if we're lucky enough, blessed enough to be there to see it, we will be covered. But what I was reading today is those who are not prepared. What will that day be like for them? You know, we look at a distance and see what happened in Florida with the hurricanes. We look at a distance and we see these houses there, and they're all devastated. We look at it at a distance, right? Except for, you know, on Wednesday we were praying for all this before it hit. And you know, we were praying for it as it was hitting. And all around the table, everybody knew somebody. Our own daughter is over in Orlando. Many people had people right on that coastline. There's other relatives of ours that everybody has somebody that's in Florida. But it got a little more personal there, didn't it? It got a little more real there, didn't it? It wasn't so removed, was it? And so what will it be like on that day when the Lord returns? Will it be personal? Or will it be a little removed? Let me tell you, it's personal. Every one of those souls is personal. Every one of those souls. I told you before about my journey on an elevator once. And God just showed me all these people. And I didn't talk to any of them. And God was telling me to talk. I didn't do it. And I got off that elevator, and I started thinking about, maybe I should have said something to somebody. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
And then I thought about, well, I wonder which ones will make it on that day. Or on their day, which is be their day of the Lord, when we pass. And I was wondering if God might show me the people who didn't make it. And then I thought, no. God's far too merciful for that. But I could think about it. And I've thought about it since that day forward, about everybody that comes across my path. Will they make it? Did I say a word? And I feel great conviction. And I've been trying to change a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And every little bit counts, let me tell you. Every word counts. Every encouragement, every Facebook post, it all counts. It all adds up. Because that day, the day of the Lord, see, we get real confused about this. We keep thinking that it is going to be this cataclysmic event, and it may very well be. But that day of the Lord happened 2,000 years ago. That day of the Lord happened when Jesus became a human being and walked this planet. That day of the Lord is a day that is coming that has already been. That day of the Lord is a continuation of all of it. That day of the Lord is a day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. That is your day of the Lord. That is a day that you changed. That is a day that you were already set, already prepared, already ready. Do you see what I'm saying? That day of the Lord is broad. It covers a lot of territory. And it's also a day of reckoning when God says, okay, time's up. I think about that too when somebody passes. Time's up. I talk to people all the time. And what conversation did you have? Did you find out? And you know, sometimes it's just that conversation is for our own personal assurance. Because, you know, what's going to happen with them and God is happening with them and God. But we need that assurance. I need it when I do a funeral. I need that assurance that that person was connected. It's going to change the whole direction of what I'm going to say. I've been fortunate enough never to have to do that funeral of that person who was not connected. But that day of the Lord will be the funeral for everyone. That is a little sobering, isn't it? Paul says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Boy, does that ever bring home these tragedies that we're experiencing. I think of all the people in Lebanon and all the people in Palestine and all the people in Israel and all the people in Russia and all the people in Ukraine. And I could go on and on and on. Those are just the mainstays right now. And how they are not going to be able to escape. It's crazy what's going on. It's crazy what's going on in Palestine, and there isn't any means to get out. It's crazy what's going on in Ukraine, and that they're kind of cornered in. That day of the Lord, for those who are not prepared, there will be no escape. It'll be worse than Lebanon or Beirut or Ukraine. There will be no anywhere to go. Sobering. Sobering, isn't it? Paul goes on, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness. So this day should not surprise you like a thief. We're not surprised, are we? We anticipate it, right? We know it's going to happen. We don't know when, where, and how. But we do know it's going to occur. And we do know it's going to be... You see, the book of Revelation, I think, is the most beautiful second chance ever. If you can imagine fire and brimstone raining down on people, and people still so stubborn. Anybody in this room stubborn? Man, I have found out that stubborn does not work. It took me until 50, 60 years old that stubborn is bad. And I still struggle with stubborn. Stubborn is stupid. I'm just going to say it. Okay? And so, people are going to be stubborn. And this is how stubborn. Fire and brimstone is raining down on my head. And I can stop it with a magic umbrella by simply saying, okay, God, I get it. I submit, I love you, I accept your son, and all of a sudden all that fire and brimstone is going to disappear, or maybe I'll disappear. I'm not sure how the logistics will work. But I'm still going to be stubborn and let the coal hit my head and burn. Ouch. Maybe and then another one, another one, another one. But God is still going to give me a second, a third, another cold piece, another piece falling, another chance, another chance, another, the ultimate second chance. He loves us. He doesn't want anyone apart from Him. Glory be to God. Paul says, you are children of the light. Oh, take that in for a minute. You are children of the light. And children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We should shine. We should shine. Regardless of circumstances, we should shine. Regardless of whatever happens to us, we should shine. Regardless of our feelings, which are so deceptive, we should shine. We should shine because we have that certainty. That certainty should make us shine. Regardless of how we're feeling today. Because feelings are very deceptive. Can I get an amen? That feelings are deceptive. And they change, don't they? Quickly. Day by day, moment by moment, circumstance by circumstance. Happiness is fleeting, right? But joy of the Lord is forever. That certainty. That's what people need from us. Especially in this day and age, they need some certainty.
Jesus is the light.
Jesus is the light, Lawanda said. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. But let us be awake and sober. I've been talking to a lot of people, especially about the church. And we believe the church needs to wake up. The church needs to wake up. Become alert. The church needs to see. Beyond the physical. Beyond what we touch and feel. Beyond our own emotions. The church needs to wake up and see the spiritual. The church needs to wake up and see the battle that is raging. The church needs to wake up and see the souls that are on the line. And the church needs to wake up and see the good that it has already done. That the church is good. Glory, hallelujah. When we worship in this room, it is good. It is a joyful noise for the Lord. That's why I'm praising Julia, that voice. You touch me. I hear it. I feel it. I'm raised up with it. I need that. But see, I'm not the only one. People who are destined for the fire of birth, they need it. They need a word. And this word. This word is supernatural. This word is powerful. This word is life itself. We need to wake up and share. Not as and I've been going through this for over 5 years now. Not as an obligation. Not as a manipulation. Not as another one chucked off my belt that I got another one saved. None of that. Because none of that will work. None of that is real. None of that is authentic. We need to be natural. Hey, let me tell you about my Jesus. I saw in that song, and what did it say about hey soul, well, what was the verse that said that, hey soul, you're not going to stop me, or don't be silent. You know, he's literally, he's talking to his own soul. And he's saying, come on, let's get it together here. Let's move. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. I love that lyric as I was typing it out because it was a new song. It was like, whoa, that's me. Because I could be shy. I could be introverted. But come on, soul, don't be shy today. Let me speak. Let me shine a little now, okay? Paul says, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. So, I mean, life could be a big party, right? I mean, life could be like what one, you know, when we were young, I could, yeah, right? you know, when we were young and reckless, it could be a big bash. And these days, our younger generation is falling into that same trap. They're falling into the night. They're falling into the pleasures. They're falling into the desires. They're falling into the wants, the needs, the envy. All of it is pure destruction. If it doesn't get you today, it's going to get you next year. If it doesn't get you next year, it's going to get you in 10 years. If it doesn't get you in 10 years, it's going to get you when you're 60 years old and you look back with regret. Paul says, but since we belong to the day, and I want to take that a minute, we belong to the day. You know what day that is? You know what day it is that we belong to? We belong to the day of the Lord. We belong to the day of the Lord. Not just the day that is coming, but the day that has already come. The day when Jesus hit this planet. The day when Jesus breathed and created us in the first place. The day when we gave our life. The day that when Jesus comes back. It's all the same day. We belong to the day. Let us be sober. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate. You know, I often talk about, I would love that people would, like, we have an emblem on us, okay? Or a little bracelet or a ring or a beanie hat. I don't know. Something to help identify us. A breastplate of faith and love. Now, this is an invisible breastplate. But it should be visible. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't see it. It's not material. It's not here on me. But you can see it because you can see it by that glow that comes off of me. You can see it by my behavior. You can see it by my humbleness. You can see it by my forgiveness. You can see it by all the things that Jesus taught us to be. That's my breastplate of love and faith. And I know that we don't even touch the surface of love. The agape love, the unconditional love, the Jesus love, God is love. We only touch the tip of that iceberg, but we have a whole iceberg of love that we can give people. We have a mountain of love that we can bestow upon others. For God did not appoint us to suffer. Hear this. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What that tells me is instead of being worried or being concerned about the fire and brimstone or any of the wrath that is coming on that day, if we're fortunate enough, and I did say fortunate, if I did say blessed, if we're blessed enough to be here on that day, that we don't have anything to worry about. Because we already got the salvation. We already got the covering. We don't have to worry about God's wrath because God's wrath has been taken care of. We don't have to worry about fire and brimstone because the fire and brimstone has already been extinguished. Those flaming darts are already gone. Paul continues, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him together. That's a God word. Together. That's what God wants. He wants us together with Him, right? That's what Jesus did all this for us, so that we could be together with our Lord, together with each other, one body, one spirit, one mind, one heart, one strength, one Lord, one church, together. And finally, and probably the most important verse, therefore, now that you heard all this, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I want you to hear this. Just as in fact you are doing. The church is doing great work. You may hear me say that the church needs to wake up, but believe me, I'm not unaware of all the work the church is doing and has been doing. The church, we just got done being at that 70-year celebration. I was telling them how many souls have come through here. How many people have changed. Here at Chippewa, here at the river, how many souls have been introduced? How many people have been able to have that relationship? How many people did they talk to after they got saved? How many people are going to be okay on the day of the Lord because of what the church has already done? And the church that operated with the parents who brought the kids, who brought the grandkids, and that church that has gone on for centuries has done a lot of amazing work. But today is a new day. Today is the day of the Lord that continues on in this new environment. So we need to think differently and be able to approach more naturally. Because this is an authentic day. People are looking for authenticity. Our younger people are looking about, are you real? They even had a thing for the longest time about keeping it real, meaning that, you know, don't be fake with me. Don't put on no show. Don't tell me everything is hunky-dory when it's not. Don't tell me that you're holier than thou and that I've got a long way to go, but I know darn well that you're just acting like a hypocrite. We need to be real. We need to be authentic. So finally, we need to be prepared. So everybody in this room needs to be prepared for that day, because it could come on tomorrow, not next Monday. It could be tomorrow. And then we also need to go and help somebody else get prepared. I'm telling you, it's as easy as asking God for an opportunity. And that opportunity may be a lot closer than we think. And it's actually the opportunities that are closer that are scarier, right? Because you got to see those people tomorrow again, right? Your children, right? So as we get ready to just close in prayer, I want us to think of opportunities. Tisa has a testimony. I want to hear it now. Come on up.
You want to hear it now?
I do.
I always get something. Today, spirit is so strong in here. Our sister gave a testimony, but she gave a prophecy. We talked about revelations and prophecy, and you know, that's like the first few pages in the Bible. She gave a prophecy today, and I almost just shouted all the way around. It was beautiful, and it was by spirit. Pastor Tom get up there and talk about certainty, encouragement, authenticity. The spirit is so high in the church today. I just want to thank God. I love it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my God, that was by the spirit that she spoke from Jeremiah 29 and 11. That was by the spirit. That is what you call a prophecy.
God does that all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Nancy, for that word. Because God is speaking. He's speaking. I'm going to just close it out with this. He's speaking with every billboard. He's speaking with everything you see. He's speaking with everything you do. He's speaking with every neighbor you meet. Everywhere you go, God has a word. And then when you dig into His word, His supernatural word, He changes everything. And then as we took communion today, as we took Jesus in today, I'm to the day I leave here, I'm never going to be able to completely wrap my head around that one. That God is in us. That when we walk in a room, the room changes. That we walk into a circumstance, the circumstance has to change because God has walked into that circumstance. That God is doing so much more work than we can even imagine. And He's doing it through these broken vessels. Is amazing. And what a honor. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank You for the honor to serve You. We thank You for the honor to speak of Your name, to give glory to You, to sing, to worship, to give You praise. We thank You that we are prepared. We are ready. We are ready. We have nothing to fear. We love You, Lord Jesus. We can't wait to see You. We know You'll protect and cover us. And we know that Your mercy will prevail among those who don't know You yet. We know that that day of the Lord is today. And that it is a day, as we go and we speak out to someone else, it's their day of the Lord. So Lord, we just ask for more day of the Lord's, for more people to know You. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the church said, Amen. Amen. Is giving a testimony of her neighbor. What's your neighbor's name?
Sharon.
Who's got all kinds of pains, all kinds of trouble, all kinds of pain in her head, and all kinds of ailments going on. But when Lawanda asks, how are you? She says, I am good, because I have the Lord. Can we give a, I am good, because I have the Lord. Maybe that's our message for this week as we go out. I am good. Because I have the Lord. I've heard that message over and over again. Let us close in praise. We just need more praise.
Trust in You, God, for Your glory.
And I know this has been happening week after week, and when we're in the sanctuary, we're in this room, it doesn't matter. God keeps speaking to us at the end with the lyrics. You know, He speaks to us at the beginning with the words and the hymns. And he speaks to us as Dancy speaks out that word. He speaks as we get the confirmation from Tisa. But look what this says. I put my trust in you. That's what we got to do first, right? Right? Step one is I got to put my trust in you. And then you got to go a little bit deeper because I got to put my hope in you, not just my trust. I got to get that hope going on. And then finally, I gotta have all me in there. I gotta be all in. I gotta have my faith in you.
Yeah.
But look what happens when we do that. It's God's economy. God's economy is not like this world's economy. It's an economy of love. The more you give, the more you get. Like if you have $1 million and you give half of it away, you got $500,000, right? I mean, that's our world economy, but God's economy is different.
Yeah.
God's economy is the first will be last, the last will be first. God's economy is, as I put my trust in you, I need that, right? I need that build up. As I put my hope, I got hope now. I got some hope in my life. I got my faith. I'm putting my all in now. I get my faith in you. But look what it's for. It's not for me. It's for your glory. The reason, I got to say this, the reason that we go and talk to others is not for us. It's not another one that we chalk up on the belt. It's not a look what I got done. It's not at the end of time I got a good score sheet. It's none of that. It's for your glory. Yeah. It's because God wants His children home. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we love you, Lord, and we know that whatever we do, it's enough. We know that we can never let you down. We know that, dear Holy Spirit, that you'll speak, and even if we don't have a word, that we just ask for an opportunity. And Lord, we don't want to judge our behavior or anything like that. We just want to act out and act with and act in love. And it, with every act of love, they will see God is love. They will see you. So however you want to do the logistics of it all, use us. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus for His and our Father's and the Holy Spirit's glory. Have an amazing week. Go and be prepared and prepare someone else. God bless.